Our fourth presentation this morning is by Manuri Achuma. She is from the USDA ARS down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And the title of her presentation today is Stabilization of Lead and Copper by Biochar Amendments in Arms Range Soils, the Influence of Biochar Characteristics, Soil Property, and Equilibrium Conditions. Manuri?
Thank you very much for the introduction. So this is a part of an ongoing study in collaboration with Dr. Bannon at the Army Lab. And the point is to utilize biochar for heavy metal stabilization in training resource, especially lead in this case. But from previous studies, we know that the biochar can give mixed results for this kind of application. For example, decreasing the cadmium, zinc, and pH concentrations while increasing the arsenic and copper soluble concentrations. So in this study, we have decided to take training range soils from seven different states. These are very well characterized soils, both in terms of soil property and toxicology, and already published in ESNT recently, and expose these seven soil samples to consecutive equilibration periods. These soils amended with different vouchers to consecutive equilibration period consisting of pH 4.8 sulfuric acid solution. I'm just going to call this without buffer case today to understand the leaching of heavy metals by rainfall, followed by pH 4.9 acetate buffer. This is a standard solution used for the toxicity characteristic leaching procedure, followed by a pH of 1.5 glycine at 37 degrees for in vitro bioaccessibility testing, and to compare the results with in vivo swine test results for these soils published in the ESNT paper. And from our previous studies, we have some ideas about how these different equilibration conditions can impact the fate of heavy metals. But what I was especially interested in was to understand how do biochars retain heavy metals in the training range soils. Is this through the surface ligand complexation? We can test this using the same biochar with and without oxidation, therefore having the same stability but different amount of oxygen containing surface functional groups. What could it be the formation of stable phosphorus phases? We can test this using the manure biochars having a large amount of phosphorus, and pH we can study using buffer. Another important question we need to address is how do biochar-induced changes in soil properties like pH, CC, TOC, DOC, and inorganic elements impact the soluble concentrations of additional elements like antimony, zinc, and aluminum that can be a problem, as well as phosphorus and potassium that may be of nutrient value. And as we will see, the base biochar is going to depend on the purpose of application, whether it's for the remediation or the agricultural use. So going back to the surface functional groups, as we all know, as we increase the pyrolysis temperature to up to about 800 degrees, we are making the biochar more stable and decreasing the HC ratio, but we are also removing the surface functional groups and decreasing the OC ratio. However, we can engineer biochars by taking a very stable biochar having low HC ratio and oxidizing it using acid. For example, we are able to increase the OC ratio by as much as 10 times. Now, in terms of the actual oxidant, we have decided to use nitric and sulfuric acid mix because this oxidant gave the maximum amount of carboxyl content in previous reports for the carbon nanotubes as well as activated carbon, and carboxyl is what we want for the heavy metal complexation. And indeed, for two different biochars, before oxidation in blue and after oxidation in red, we see a big boost in the carboxyl content of the biochar. So let's move on to look at how these oxidized biochars having large amount of carboxyl content will do in the heavy metal stabilization in the training range soil. So here is a result showing soluble lead and copper concentration as a function of the voucher amendment rate after 1 week accumulation without buffer. For the flux voucher before oxidation in green, after oxidation in pink, and red is showing the soil-only control. And on the right hand, we are looking at the broiler liter vouchers at two different temperatures, 350 and 650 degrees. And we see that the oxidation enhanced the retention of lead and copper, and also manure vouchers were able to retain both lead and copper. But what is interesting is that if we are to focus on the vouchers that were able to stabilize lead and copper, we see a little effects of voucher amendment rate, and it looks as if it doesn't matter if we add 2% or 20% of voucher. Now, to understand how much of these stabilization effects are coming from the pH alone, we measure the pH for these systems, as shown here. And oxide voucher, even though we rigorously wash the voucher after oxidation, it's still acidic. And by adding 20% to the soil, we decrease the original pH of soil around 6 to as low as 4. The manure voucher, on the other hand, is only about half char and rest is ash, so it is strongly alkaline. And if by amending 20%, we are increasing the pH to as high as 10. But if you are to contrast this pH shown here with the lead and copper concentration shown in the previous slide, what we realize is that the oxidized vouchers even though it is strongly acidic and decreased the soil pH to as low as 4, was still able to stabilize lead and copper, suggesting pH is of course always important but not the sole factor. And we can also look deeper into the pH effects by using buffer, and it's going to be interesting to see how this manure will do under acidic conditions using pH 4.5 acetate buffer. As shown here, again, this is the lead and copper concentration as a function of voucher amendment rate after 1 week accumulation in pH 4.5 acetate buffer. Clearly we see that oxidation enhanced the retention of both lead and copper, and also manure vouchers were still effective in stabilizing lead and copper, and now we start to see some temperature effects. But what is interesting is if you are to compare this result with buffer and the without buffer case we saw previously, now we start to see a clear relationship between the soluble lead and copper concentration and the voucher amendment rate. In terms of the additional elements, I'm just showing the zinc, phosphorus, and antimony concentrations as a function of amendment rate for the without buffer case. But a good news is, even though it looks very complex, it makes sense. For example, zinc and phosphorus are very sensitive to pH, and we see an increase under acidic conditions, whereas sodium and potassium just comes out of manure vouchers with much less pH effects. And also, we saw a little increase in the antimony concentration, which is a good news because previous studies showed increase in the anionic contaminant concentration at the expense of cationic species. Now the reason I have been showing the results for the MD1 and MD2 soils is because these are sandy, low CC, low TOC soils and show the maximum effects of voucher amendment. However, we are dealing with 7 very diverse soil samples in terms of pH, TOC, and CC, ranging from high TOC organic to sandy MD1 and MD2 to clay soils, and therefore having diverse lead speciation. And just by looking at the pH change alone, as a result of voucher amendment, for different vouchers made from plant and manure with and without activation, clearly we see the maximum effects of voucher amendment rate on the pH change on the sandy MD1 and MD2 soils compared to the high TOC and clay soils. And in terms of the lead and copper concentration, without buffer on the top and with buffer on the bottom, just like we saw for the sandy MD1 and MD2 soils, we saw an effectiveness of oxidized and phosphorus-rich vouchers in other soils like Arkansas, Oregon, and Washington. But that also depended on both the number and duration of the accumulation steps, indicating different release kinetics and suggesting the importance of the lead speciation in these original soils, ranging from highly bioavailable carbonate phases in the sandy MD1 and MD2 soils to a high amount of organic lead species in the Arkansas soil to a large amount of metallic lead in the Oregon soil. So in conclusion, because environmental conditions determine the operative voucher functions, if you want to use vouchers for heavy metal stabilization, and depending on which heavy metal, there are at least three components that we need to think about, and that is voucher characteristics, soil property, and accumulation conditions. And thank you for your attention. We haven't measured redox potential, and this is all, you know, aerated. The experiment is not, you know, anoxic or something, so we haven't. Voucher, did we see any change in voucher characteristics with time?
Why is it zero charge? You mentioned
this. Oh, PVC.
Yes.
Point of charge. Yeah, that is very important. So, yeah, we did, for the model studies that we did in the past, not for this, but in the past, we did see the importance of PVC. You know, lower PVC, the better voucher at, stabilizing heavy metals.
Thank you very much.